fills up our plates. Papa's saying grace. Louisiana living sweet as sugar.
Welcome to the Story Table, brought to you by Providence Church in Lake Providence, Louisiana, where they want you to know that you are loved. Sierra Story, Chapter 6. It had been another long and tiring day, and Sonny was glad to steer his black pickup into the driveway. He could barely make out the shapes of the stately oak trees on either side of the entrance, extending their mature arms in welcome, their branches forming a protective canopy. His jeans were dirty and stained with grease, and his light blue denim shirt was a darker gray where it clung to the hollow of his back. Sonny cleared the last curve of the drive and gazed fondly at the two-story house emerging from the shadows to receive him. The bottom floor was lit up like a Christmas tree while a single light shone from Lolly's upstairs bedroom. Sonny's grandparents had built the place in the early 60s when the hard life of the farmer was financially rewarding. They used the state's best lumber and its more experienced contractors. Linnendale was the finished product. He never saw the house that he didn't think of his grandmother. She would always be a part of Linnendale. Sonny was eternally grateful to her for allowing him to raise his family in Linnendale's embrace. God knows he wouldn't have been able to provide them with such a fine home. These days, farming seldom paid the bills, much less yielding the kind of profits that would require. Sonny didn't have a lot of memories of his grandfather to cherish beyond a few fuzzy childhood fishing trips, excursions he took with his dad and grandfather during summer vacations. He was a little boy when his grandfather was diagnosed with cancer. Mr. Lucas Gray had not been a well man for the last 10 years of his life, and when Sonny's father, Mr. Lucas's only child, was buried, he lost the will to fight the monster. He succumbed to the cancer the following spring, after spending much of the winter barricaded in his office, hacking and coughing his way through family scrapbooks. On the other hand, Sonny and his grandmother Edith had been soulmates. It had been just the two of them after that, along in the great big house with their memories. Edith Gray allowed herself and Sonny a time to mourn, and when she felt they had done justice to their grief, she insisted they move on. "Life is for the living," she would say. "We can best honor our loved ones by what we do with the remainder of the time we've been given." Every day was a gift to Edith. She filled Sonny's stomach with good food and his heart with her love. They strengthened each other, the old woman and the young man, and their hearts mended through the bond. The night before Sonny's wedding, he came in to find her waiting for him on his bed. Sonny had been out all night at a bachelor party he had not wanted to attend in the first place. The constant ribbing from his buddies, their dares and baits to enjoy himself while he still could. They were all an irritation to him. Sonny was eager to pledge himself to Sierra. It was just like his grandmother to wait up one last time. She must have drifted to sleep waiting for him, for when he came in his room, she sat up to greet him, smoothing her signature bun of gray hair. She held a piece of paper tied with a silver ribbon. "For you and Sierra, a wedding gift, my appreciation for all the joy you've given me. Sonny, you brought life and love back to an old house and an older woman." Sonny spread the paper and read the will, bequeathing to him the farm, the house, everything, including the bed beneath him. He was speechless. His grandmother accepted his hug. He held on to her tightly, and when his grip loosened, she looked into his eyes filled with water and said, "You're welcome." Sonny and Sierra were coming in from their honeymoon when they got the news about Edith's death. She had been to the bank bright and early the day before to wrap up some loose ends. That afternoon, she cooked and canned all day long, filling the freezer and the pantry with casseroles and vegetables. Afterwards, she went upstairs and went to sleep. Her bridge partner had found her there the next day after dinner. "Leave it to Edith," Sonny thought, "to tend to all her business and die in her own sweet time." Sonny, however, struggled to absorb another of death's blows. For a young man, he had seen more than his share. He and Sierra moved into Lennondale before he had time to worry about how hard it would be to live in Edith's house without Edith. But just like his grandmother had taken him in and helped him heal as a boy, the old, graceful house took the young man and his new wife in and blessed them, easing them into their new life together. Over the years, Sierra worked tenderly on the house, retaining its quiet dignity as she added her own personality. Edith hadn't been much of a yard person, preferring the produce of the vegetable garden. Under Sierra's care, the grounds were now an asset, a befitting tribute to the couple who first broke their soil. Sonny switched off the engine, his stomach rumbling impatiently. A tantalizing aroma met him inside the back hall, and he followed the smell of Sierra's homemade spaghetti sauce to the kitchen. "Smells good!" Sierra smiled at him. "Hey, you." She put the wooden spoon down on the porcelain spoon rest between the eyes of the stove and moved to kiss him hello. Sonny pecked her lips while holding himself at a distance. "I stink. You don't want to get too close." "Not to me you don't," Sierra answered, wondering how many times she had told him that over the years. It irritated her when he held himself stiffly away from her, barely brushing her lips. She liked the strong masculine smell of hard work that clung to him at night, and she had often said so, not that it seemed to matter. She turned abruptly back to the stove. "So how's the replanted wheat looking?" "Really good, Cece. One of the best stands in years." Sonny opened the refrigerator and took out the water jug. "Where's the kids?" Sierra placed a loaf of French bread on the middle rack of the oven before answering. "Luke's still at football practice. Lolly's in her room. I don't know what's with her. I know it's about Jeff, but she won't talk about it." "She will when she gets ready. Do I have time to bathe?" Sierra looked at Sonny seriously. "Yes. You know, you could try and talk to her when you get out." "Like she'd tell me more than she's told you." Sonny took off his boots and left them beside the door. "Sounds like the Jeep now. I'm going to get in the shower before Luke has a chance to use all the hot water." Sonny wasn't up the stairs good before Luke lumbered into the kitchen. He gave his mom a bear hug, leaving perspiration tracks on her face and grass on her shirt. "You don't care how you smell, do you?" Sierra goosed her son playfully in the ribs. "Huh?" "Nothing. Are you hungry?" "Yep." "How's your knee?" "Fine." Her fault, Sierra thought. Luke had a tendency to speak in one-word sentences. To get more, you had to ask more specific questions. "What did Dr. Kane say about you playing on it?"
"I didn't go by." "Luke!"
Sierra faced her son angrily. She had to look up to point her finger in his face.
"I guess you've been practicing on it, too."
"Nah, Mom, I just been rolling in the grass. Coach says I'm so special, I don't have to practice. He'll play me anyway."
Luke pulled a stool away from the bar and slumped into it, laying his head sideways on his hands, giving his mom his full attention. She was going to explode.
"Don't get sarcastic with me, James Lucas. I thought I made myself clear after last Friday's game. You were just supposed to lift this week. I said no scrimmaging until Dr. Kane released you. You've already been playing on that injury for weeks, and against my better judgment, I might add. You could do permanent damage. Is it worth it?"
Luke fidgeted with the mail on the bar.
"Mom, I didn't have time to go by the clinic. Besides, I've iced it all weekend. It's nothing like it was the last time. I wish you didn't always make such a big deal over everything. It's not like I'm dying."
"Mom, I'm sorry." The brawny boy got up and put his arms around his mother's neck.
"Love you, Mom."
Sierra squeezed back and then patted his arms twice where they draped around her neck, her way of saying the subject was closed. "I love you too, Luke. Why don't you go get a bath? You and your dad can talk about it after supper. It doesn't matter what I say anyway." Luke wanted to protest, to say it did matter what she thought, but Friday night was the biggest game of the year. He had to play. If they won, they'd be in the playoffs. The Warriors hadn't been to the playoffs in years. Instead, he kissed her on the cheek. "I'm going to go bathe."
Sarah turned the flame under the spaghetti down to low. She was crossing the kitchen to set the table when she felt a twinge in her skull, almost like a shiver. She thought the kitchen light might have dimmed, briefly. Her vision blurred, and she reached for the cooking island to steady herself, blinking her eyes quickly. After a minute or two, whatever it was, passed. Great, Sierra thought. Now I'm coming down with something. Lolly lay on her bed, trying to study. With her index finger, she traced the leafy pattern of her comforter while she tried to think about the laws of physics. Her heart wasn't in it. She tapped her foot with the music against the maple footboard of her bed. Maybe if she just turned it down, she thought, or off. Lolly rolled over several times and leaned off the bed from the waist up, walking her arms out several paces until she could reach the knob on the radio. Startled by a knock at the door, she almost fell off completely. She heard her brother laughing before she could finish saying, "Come in." "Need some help there, sis?" "I'm fine." Lolly sniffed, walking her way back onto the bed. She sat up. "What do you want?" "Some slack for old Jeff. The boy stunk up the field at practice, Law. Couldn't even catch a pass." Luke was resigned to pleading if he thought it would help. "What's that got to do with me?" "Don't be stupid, Law. You know what? He's mooning over you, and it's going to cost us the game Friday night." "Like I said, what's that got to do with me?" Luke sat down by his sister and grinned broadly. "Well, it's your school, too. Can't you take him back for the Warriors?" First, Lolly looked at him incredulously, and then, realizing he was serious, she began to laugh out loud. When her giggles subsided, she looked at him like he was the last idiot left on earth. "Oh, I see. Kind of like win one for the Gipper, only it's date one for the Warriors? Luke, you have gotten sacked one too many times. Wait till I tell Mama. She's going to worry sure now." Luke punched the bed between them in frustration. He stood up and walked to the door. "What? What is it, Lolly? Everyone can see you still have the hots for him." "No, I don't," Lolly replied quickly. "It's over." "Yeah? Well, so is our season." Sonny stuck his head in the door and looked at them questioningly. "Let's go downstairs. Your mom has supper ready." Although Luke descended the stairs several steps behind his sister, he was close enough for her to hear his last shot. "Thanks for nothing, Law." For a while, there wasn't much conversation at supper. Everyone was hungry. Then Luke and Sonny started talking about football. Sonny wanted to know everything, the other team's record, what kind of offense they liked to run, etc., etc. Sierra and Lolly continued to eat quietly, each preoccupied with their own thoughts. Determined not to be the one to bring up Luke's knee, Sierra fumed silently. She was tired of being the nagging parent. She wanted Sonny to bring it up, for once. Didn't it matter to him if his son walked with a limp the rest of his life? Or would that be a worthy sacrifice for a state football championship? Sierra knew she wasn't being fair. Sonny was a good father. The fact was, he wasn't worried because he had faith in the team's trainer, and it was the trainer's opinion that Luke's knee was only bruised. Sierra would never forget watching Luke tear his ACL his sophomore year. When he limped off the field earlier this year, she had held her breath, terrified he'd done it again. How Sonny and Luke could block all that out was a mystery to her. Sierra directed her attention towards her daughter sitting on the opposite side of the table. She searched for a neutral subject. Earlier that evening, she had tried to bring Jeff's name up, only to watch Lolly clam up and go to her room. "How about that big physics test, Lolly? Is that tomorrow?" "Yes'm. I was trying to study, but somebody came in my room interrupting me." "Hey, sis, need some help?" Luke was grinning mischievously. "We can make a deal." Luke was a whiz at physics, though he struggled in his English classes. Lolly excelled in English and struggled in physics. Still, she knew that wasn't the deal he meant. She wanted to tell her mom about his little plan, but that meant bringing Jeff into the conversation, which she didn't want to do. Luke knew that too, darn his cocky self. She would love to slap that grin off his face. "What about it, dear?" her mom asked. "It's nice of your brother to offer to help you study." Lolly gritted her teeth. That's okay. I think I can get it. Looking at her brother, she smiled sweetly. Thanks anyway, bro. But no deal. Sonny set his empty glass down beside his plate. Any more milk? Translated, his question meant, would you please pour me another glass? Sierra scooted her chair back and took his glass to the cabinet beside the refrigerator. She was pouring his milk when Sonny asked no one in particular, guess who I met in town today? He paused slightly and continued, some new guy. Said he was moving into the old Granger place next door. A writer. What do y'all think about that? Sierra froze. A writer? Lolly asked quickly. Sonny had his daughter's immediate attention. Already she was imagining some rich, elusive author held up next door writing his latest blockbuster. What's he write? Luke asked, only slightly interested. Some sort of reporter, or maybe said columnist. I don't know. Can't say I was paying much attention to all that. But he was a real nice guy. I think we ought to have him over for supper sometime. Said his name was Chad. No, Charles. Yeah, that was it. Charles Carpenter. The frothy white liquid spilled over the top of the glass, running down Sierra's fingers and onto the counter. Next door. Hey, let me help you there, Sonny said, getting up from his chair. You've made a mess. Sierra forced herself to act natural. That's okay, I've got it. Just take your milk. Sierra wiped up the counter, taking a few extra moments to collect herself. By the time she finished, the twins announced they were full, bringing their plates to the sink. Lolly offered to help her mom with the dishes, but Sierra shook her head. Y'all go on up. You need to study. Don't forget to brush your teeth and say your prayers. Luke groaned, and both teenagers rolled their eyes. We're not 10 anymore, Mom, Luke grumbled. Well, I'm still your mama. Get over it. Sierra hugged them both hard before they left. Night, Dad, Luke said. Night, son. Get some rest. Night, Lolly called. Good night, baby. I love y'all. Sierra emptied the leftover spaghetti into a glass casserole bowl, put it in the refrigerator, and carried the big pot to the sink. Sonny stood at the bar, going over the day's mail. What about it? He asked, after the kids left the room. About what? Sierra hedged. Didn't you hear anything I was saying? The guy next door. Don't you think we should have him over? Sierra knew what she should say. She just didn't know if she could. I don't know. It's a busy time of year. I'm tired. All I'm thinking about right now is cleaning up the kitchen. I could help. No way. You've worked all day. I won't be long. Why don't you go on up? If you say so. Sonny kissed his wife's cheek. He left the room with the mail in hand. Bills, bills, and more bills, he muttered. I wish he could just relax, Sierra thought, knowing Sonny was going to the office and not to the den. She filled the large pot in the sink with hot, sudsy water. Picking up a yellow nylon scrubby, she went aggressively after the dried food stuck to the sides. Once the kitchen was put back in order, Sierra poured herself a glass of ice water and walked onto the back porch. She sat down on the steps and leaned against a weathered wooden post, staring into the night. A faint wind stirred the air, and Sierra breathed in the scent of fall, its freshly harvested fields offering up smells reminiscent of mown grass. A long time ago, this was her favorite time of year. A sense of expectation was almost palatable throughout the community. The farmers watched the hoppers on their combines and cotton pickers fill up as they collected the fruit of their labors, constantly estimating yields and profits. At the edge of their fields, they unloaded their valuable cargo into waiting grain carts. In turn, the carts emptied into trucks waiting to join the single-file procession that led to area gins. It was the middle of October, and the nights were beginning to cool off in their corner of Louisiana. Brandon had drawn his first breath on a beautiful fall day in September. It had been a night just like this one when he took his last. For Sierra, the pregnant hope of the harvest season she once loved had turned into an empty and cruel taunt. Sierra looked toward the dim lights at the old Granger place. Though they were barely visible, to Sierra they were a flashing neon light spelling out trouble. She had known he would come, but she thought he would slip in and try to see her privately. She had hoped to send him away before anyone knew he existed. What was with him moving in next door of all places? And chatting with Sonny uptown? Talk about gall. What did Chuck mean to do? Ride into town like a cowboy on a bad western and pull her up onto the horse behind him?
Sarah tried to tell herself she didn't want him here, but she did. The truth was she felt flattered and special and more alive than she had in a long time.
Sarah wondered how it would feel to look into Chuck's eyes again. It wasn't hard to remember how she used to feel when their eyes met. She shivered, her stomach rolling like a teenager just thinking about him.
What am I doing? She wondered desperately.
Sarah felt like she was holding a ticking bomb and she didn't know how to disarm it.
Sarah met Charles Carpenter her first year of college. As a junior, he was already the heartthrob of the campus. His curly black hair waved in random spirals, at least one lock always flirting around his intense black eyes. Mother Nature had given him broad shoulders and dented his chin with the type of cleft sculptors like to replicate on marble gods. Charles was majoring in political science and minoring in girls. As the editor of the highly regarded campus newspaper, he enjoyed an authority and autonomy that rivaled some of the less tenured professors. Charles had spotted Sierra the day she moved into the dorm. She was a new face, and she fascinated him. Sierra thought him flawless. After they became an item, she was amazed to discover Charles had actually arranged their chance meeting in Speech 101. He wasn't signed up for the class, but in exchange for promising to sit on a little problem one of his more ambitious reporters had uncovered, the professor had allowed him to wander accidentally into the wrong class. Sarah had been shocked when Charles began to pursue her. Before long, the word got around that she belonged to Charles Carpenter, and people she had never met began treating her like someone special, an insider, a campus player. Charles was always holding a rally about something, and he liked for her to be there. Sarah would sit on the front row and marvel at her new love while Charles opened the meeting, inciting the kids about whatever current injustice he had discovered on campus. He measured his words carefully, using word pictures to engage their emotions. If they responded, he slowed down and built on his theme. If they seemed to lose interest, he changed course in midstream. And when he had their rapt attention, he calmly sat down and watched while his buddies took over with their bullhorns and posters. Charles had been instrumental in a lot of changes on campus since he first arrived as a curious and determined freshman. He had learned a lot about people and what they wanted, and he had found there were few limits to their devotion if they were convinced you could deliver. Sarah had dated plenty in high school, but she had never really had a serious boyfriend until Charles. You couldn't count that terrific crush she harbored for Sonny. Nothing had ever developed from it, and as far as she knew, he didn't know or care where she had gone after graduation. Charles was Sonny's polar opposite. He couldn't have been more different. He was romantic and attentive, always leaving flowers on the hood of her car and sentimental cards tucked in her books. Charles sang love songs to her without a trace of self-consciousness. Percy Sledge, Marvin Gaye. They dated for almost 2 years. Sarah assumed Charles would graduate and they would marry while she finished school. She gave him her heart and soul. She was ready to give him everything the day she surprised him at his apartment. Charles had been distant for several days. It was unlike him. Sarah chalked it up to the pressure he was under to complete his political science thesis. It would account for his entire last semester grade. Sierra skipped her afternoon classes and went grocery shopping, spending the rest of the afternoon preparing Charles's favorite meal. At the last minute, she decided to take the meal to him instead of calling him over to eat with her. Good, Sierra thought, he's here. She dismissed the Mazda parked beside Charles's dark blue Honda as someone else's guest. Sierra balanced the basket on one hip and knocked on the door with her free hand. After a moment, she shifted the weight to the other hip and knocked again. Sarah could see through the blinds to the right of the door. The television was on. Suddenly, she caught a glimpse of Charles's head through the patio doors. He must be studying by the pool. Sarah sat the basket on the stoop and made her way around the side of the apartment complex quietly, a little grin playing around her lips. She was almost to the gate at the edge of the privacy hedge when she heard a familiar voice.
Don't be silly, Charles, darling. Come get in the water. You can call your little accessory later.
And then, don't call Sierra an accessory. She's more than that.
Sierra froze, little beads of sweat from her short hike trickling down her chest. She felt like a character in a low-budget movie. The female voice, she couldn't place it. Sierra moved closer to the bush. Brushing the stinging leaves away from her neck, she lowered one of the branches until she could see clearer. Charles was standing at the edge of the pool in baggy shorts, blocking her view of his company. He was still talking, his voice velvety smooth.
You know I have to call her, and you know I have to have her.
Sure, darling. We wouldn't want anyone to be suspicious if you two lovebirds suddenly broke it off. Why, they might start getting too nosy. The girl laughed like she had just thought of something funny.
But then, you haven't had her, now have you? Would she be so important if you had?
Sierra could see Charles tense visibly. He turned his head sideways, and she saw the angry look on his face. Just then, the girl rose from the shallow end of the pool. Only, it wasn't a girl.
Miss Thomas?
Charles's political science professor? The older woman strode toward Charles, well aware that the years between them had done nothing to blunt her appeal to men. Her waist was still small, her skin firm. She slowly adjusted the few small triangles of fabric she wore, pushing her expensive shades up onto her carefully highlighted hair. Courtesy of her extremely gifted beautician and weekly appointments, she was still able to project a natural blonde instead of the brassy look of boxed color.
Don't get all hot and bothered, Charles. At least not like that, she teased. I didn't mean anything towards your little pet. Let's go inside. We'll work on your paper. Or something. I'm sure I can make it up to you.
Miss Thomas put her arm on Charles's back. Sierra wanted to turn away, but she couldn't move. Instead, she watched as red fingernails carved a slow pattern down the back of the man she loved. The other hand's matching nails worked their way into those black curls like Sierra had done so many times, before pulling his mouth down towards her. Sierra closed her eyes. Her heart was shriveling inside her chest. She turned around before opening her eyes again and left as quietly as she had come. Less than an hour later, Sierra heard the wheels of a car squeal to a stop outside her apartment. She watched from her bedroom window as Charles ran up the steps carrying the basket she had forgotten at his apartment stoop. Behind him trailed a steady stream of juices from the overturned dishes she had carefully packed a lifetime ago. She crept to the living room and listened as he banged on the door.
"Let me in, Cece. Let me in, please. I know this is your basket. What happened? Why'd you leave?"
Charles jumped off the little landing and ran to her bedroom window. She could hear him pounding on the glass. He came back to the door, still calling to her loudly, uncharacteristically oblivious to how desperate he sounded.
"I know you're in there. I don't know what you think you saw or know, but I can explain."
Sierra pressed her back against the wall and slumped down to her knees.
"Claire, Miss Thomas, I mean, she doesn't mean anything. I didn't want this to happen, Cece. It was all her. I was just playing along. I didn't know what else to do. I have to have an A on my thesis."
Charles's voice broke.
"Good job," Sierra thought. "You really sound like you're crying out there."
"Please, Sierra, I love you. Let me in. I'll stay out here all night. I'm not leaving." For a while, Sierra thought he really would. She felt like a prisoner, but she couldn't bring herself to open the door. She wanted to believe what he was saying. She wanted to believe that nothing had happened between him and Claire Thomas. But all she could see was the woman's nails on his back, and all she could hear was her laughter. Charles stayed for hours. He would plead and then fall silent. Once he even resorted to singing one of their favorite songs. Before he left, he pledged his love one last time. "I love you, Cece. I'm going now, but only so you can get some rest. We can work this out. I'll see you tomorrow." But he didn't. Sierra stayed up all night packing. The next day she transferred to state. It was closer to home and far enough away from Miss Thomas and Charles and everyone else she knew was laughing at the fool she'd been. Of course, Charles found a way to see where her transcript was mailed. Of course, he wrote and called and sent flowers.
Sierra arched her back away from the post, stretching to relieve her tensed-up muscles. What if things had happened differently? What if she had stayed and talked to him? What if... Sierra gave her imagination some rope. It was easy and kind of exciting to think about what could have been with Charles. It was harder to imagine life without Sonny, which in turn meant there wouldn't have been a Luke, a Lolly, or a Brandon. Sierra jumped at the creaking sound of the screen door. "There you are," Sonny smiled. "I thought you must have gone upstairs." Sierra returned his smile and his greeting, feeling like a heel for where her thoughts had been. He sat down close to her and draped an arm casually across her shoulders. "I'm sorry, I was just about to come in," Sierra lied. She laid her head on her husband's shoulder, willing herself to feel the excitement with his presence that she had been enjoying only moments before with thoughts of Charles. They sat that way for several minutes until Sonny patted her shoulder and announced he was tired and going to bed. "I'm coming too." Sierra was briefly successful in her efforts not to look towards the lights of the Granger place as she stood to follow her husband inside. "You're a weak woman," she scolded herself, "and you had better watch it."